Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shannon Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you'll receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I am now living in day 8 of no Disney Plus.
I don't know why I'm so entertained by that.
How upset
you're
going to
become the mole people.
My kids don't care. They didn't even know that we had it. In fact, my daughter found the app in our Roku because I downloaded it to try to get it to work.
Okay.
And she tried it and it didn't work, so she just kind of went back to doing what she did.
Something else?
Yes.
My children, meanwhile, are like lobbying actively.
They're campaigning
for Disney Plus.
They're like we'll clean the toilets,
yeah,
Dad.
Yeah, I kind of regret having taken them on the campaign trail because now they understand political machinations, right? And like my wife she is not about it, dude. She is
really
like,
why is that?
Because she doesn't like the Disney's shows. Like
Hannah Montana style,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, sure, and like, you know, the Sweet Life with Zach and Cody.
I haven't watched it yet, but
yeah,
supposedly,
I don't like those either.
Supposedly one of their best TV shows at launch is a High School Musical mockumentary TV show.
Okay.
It's supposed to be amazing.
So it's like The Office meets High School Musical kind of thing? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I guess.
That's
so.
What I think of.
You just need to invite the Wheelers over for dinner and have that playing in the background, yes. And she'll be all on board.
This is Spinal Tap meets High School.
Yeah. So my wife like strongly reacted to their campaigning. Like, no, we're not going to get that. And I'm like, I'm like puckering up a little bit because I'm like, but The Mandalorian.
You're like, don't draw the line in the sand just yet.
The Mandalorian wants me to get Disney Plus.
On the plus side, your wife, you know, she usually bends pretty easily when the time comes.
Oh yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I was just surprised, you know,
that she was drawing the line in the sand.
Like, what is it about
The Sweet Life of Zach
the
and Cody?
The Sweet Life of Zach and
I
Cody.
I think she finds them like incredibly vapid and
they are. Yeah,
they encourage sort of a
yes, they do. I know what you're about to say.
Behavior or mindset. Mm-hmm.
Yes, all of that.
That she would be like actively on the warpath against, you know.
When my daughter was really little, like 4 or 5,
yeah.
Hannah Montana was, she doesn't even remember this because she's too old. She was too young at the time. She watched Hannah Montana every day. And I'm like, dear, why are we letting our 4-year-old watch Hannah Montana?
Right.
I'm like, have you seen some of the things, you know, the vainness that they would encourage to show? And I'm just like, what we really want to teach our 4-year-old? Luckily, my daughter is nothing like that and doesn't remember any of it. So, whatever.
Yeah.
And I have my 3-year subscription.
To Disney Plus?
Yeah.
I do too. 8 days of it's gone, though.
Wait, so how does that work? Like, I seriously have not even paid attention to Disney Plus for a couple reasons. I have a huge backlog on Netflix anyway.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, now that I've finished Breaking Bad, I can consider
I'm buying
it. It's time for Better Call Saul.
I've heard that, actually. I've also heard that I should consider Succession. I need to. But I watched El Camino.
Oh, you can't watch Succession.
Don't watch Succession?
No.
Okay.
Who's giving you this advice?
My brother-in-law, who kind of recommended Breaking Bad originally.
I mean, granted, Succession's amazing.
Okay.
So,
but what your face is telling me is it does not meet
it
the
is not Wheeler appropriate.
I
didn't think Breaking Bad was Wheeler appropriate, but apparently it was. So,
eh.
Right. I mean it.
I want to.
So there's definitely a difference between A&E offerings and HBO offerings.
Oh, is Succession HBO?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be an issue. I mean, that's kind of why I didn't watch Game of Thrones. That, and I didn't like the first book.
Oh, I hated the first book, but I loved the series. You know why?
Why?
Because the characters I hated went through the screen so quickly. I didn't have to read about them for a chapter. They were on screen for 5 minutes, and then they were gone.
That's amazing.
Literally.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
They were gone literally.
Gone, yeah.
Yes, in many cases, gone to never return.
Anyways, yeah. I mean, so they had a theirs was, I don't know if they're still doing this promotion or not. But they had a, it was for members of D23, which is like their Disney fan club, which you can join for free. And if you,
you may have, like me, you may have even been in it accidentally and didn't realize it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
I don't remember what I signed up. It was like a Disney, like DVD, something or other that I signed up for long ago.
Amazing.
I did not sign up. I was already a member. I don't know how.
And basically it was like, if you sign up for 3 years, it'll be $4 a month.
Okay.
It's all paid in advance. And then
after recurring subscription.
After that, then you get, you can cancel, but after that, it will recur at the whatever the market rate
is. It's like
$7
a month, I think, is the market.
It will be more than that.
Currently, it's
going
to be more than that in 3 years.
Okay. That makes sense. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're already in for 3 years.
Yeah.
All right. Well done.
I did the same thing. Well, I'm in the same boat as you, though. I have a million shows on Netflix in the list, and every time I get on, I add two or three more.
I mean, honestly,
and only
if
watch
I subscribe
one.
To Disney Plus, it's going to be for The Mandalorian.
Well, okay. Here's the other reason.
I'm ready.
And this might be what actually breaks your will or convinces your wife to whatever.
Okay.
I'm not your wife won't
There's
care.
No convincing. Come on.
Your wife won't care, right. But she might give in to you. But I mean,
I'm in for Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Right. I mean, I'm trying
oh,
to think
I forget
of
those
I'm,
are coming.
I'm trying to think
right.
of who the Kevin Feig, however you say his name. I don't know.
Feige. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Feig. That's cool.
Sure.
Whatever.
Fugue.
WandaVision.
He's never going to listen to this episode.
He,
we can screw it. We can give him the Community Builder Award and screw it up there too.
And he said that basically the MCU now is going to, if you're wanting to understand the MCU,
you have to have both.
You have to be watching the shows as well.
Mm. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know if that breaks my will that much, which just means I'm getting old. Like I'm an old man and I'm like, look, I'm still going to go see your movies, and if I don't get it all, like, I'm at peace with that. I'm at a zen state, you know, of, like, whatever.
You know, the funny...
But I still want to watch them. I'm not saying I don't want to watch them. I'm just saying.
So...
I didn't love the Netflix ones in general.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, like...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of meh.
Right. What are the other Netflix ones?
Well, the Netflix ones are, like,
Daredevil?
Oh,
Jessica
I love
Jones.
Daredevil, though. Jessica Jones.
Luke mom. Cage.
What, really?
I didn't. Oh, I gosh, couldn't finish season one of Jessica
I'm not sure
Jones.
I can be friends with you two anymore.
I don't think I liked. The villain was too. I don't know.
In Jessica Jones season one, you mean?
Yeah, season one.
The villains are different in every season.
Are they?
Yeah.
I love Jessica Jones. Loved it. I loved every season of it.
More than Daredevil?
Yeah.
Daredevil's my favorite.
Punisher was my favorite.
Iron Fist is my most disappointing one.
Did you watch season two?
I
no,
can't remember.
He did.
Of Iron Fist?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember.
It's way better. They figured it. They figured the formula out. The problem was is then they're like, okay, now we're done.
Yeah.
I was on board for season three because
like
they
Luke
really
Cage?
I love Luke Cage. Really? I loved all of them.
Okay.
I love. There was none of them that I disliked except for Iron Fist season one, which I still tolerated, but it was pretty bad. It was pretty rough.
Here's the problem with Iron Fist season one. I hope someday that Crisis Protocol or that Recalibration Matrix will do something with Iron Fist, because I never would have been interested in Iron Fist until I read a run of the comics that somebody recommended to me that was phenomenal. I'd have to find it again because I don't remember the exact.
You're going to have to let me know because
Year of the Run.
I would love to read it.
So real quick.
Yeah.
We were talking last night. We had our game night.
For Crisis Protocol. Yes.
And
I was hanging Christmas lights. I'm sorry. I missed it. But also, mine's being painted, so I didn't really want to come.
Oh, that's fair.
Play unpainted.
So, someone brought up about, like, how... Made some side comment about the Cosmic Cube.
Okay.
And so, it's been nice. My co-host, Greg Webster, he's a huge comic nerd, and mm-hmm. he makes great recommendations for the comic book arcs that we read.
Okay.
And so, the comic book arc that we read for Red Skull was... it's from like 1968.
Okay,
I think.
So this is an older one.
Yeah, this is old.
Okay,
and so it like the whole story arc is Red Skull gets the Cosmic Cube, and he decides that he's going to get revenge on Captain America, and he decides that the way that he is going to get revenge is he's gonna shape change and look like Captain America. And Captain America is going to shape change and look like the Red Skull.
Okay.
And so all the good guys are hunting down Captain America, and Red Skull's out being a jerk.
He's doing like bad things and the guys of Captain America.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's funny.
But anyways, in that story arc, the Cosmic Cube was created by AIM and by MODOK.
Okay.
And it was like, it wasn't like an Infinity Stone or
Infinity Stones
the Tesseract or whatever. Right. It was a technological
Just a blue cube that does cool things.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So anyway.
I did love the Marvel shows that were on Netflix.
Right.
All of them, for the most part.
Okay, well, let's talk about Community Builders.
Welcome to the Disney Plus podcast. Okay, hold on. I might have lost it. All right, I'm ready.
We've lost it a long time ago, Josh.
We've lost the threads.
Rotate back here. Okay, so this week's Community Builder is on running events for your local community. And, oh my gosh, this is like
Kevin Feige.
This is probably one of the most beautiful... Community Builders nomination threads ever, because it has Dank Dune meme tax in it. It has cat tax in it. It has tons of nominations. So it's worth reading just to read. But ultimately, we are giving the award this week to one Gail Martindale. Gail was nominated by Adam Thomas Mori, and his nomination says... he nominated her because she had just run a tournament to help raise money to help the local food bank. Then somebody else mentions that she's organized and run all the local Rochester events for the past few years and is getting an Oblivion campaign going right now, which, you know, if you haven't subscribed to the Oblivion podcast already, you should. Let's see. I mean, she just talks about how, it's just funny, like multiple people just...
Yeah, lots of people chime in on it.
Chime in on Gail's nomination about all the organizing she's done in Rochester, New York, that she just sets the standard for great support of a community. And somebody refers to her as the Jenny Appleseed of War Machine because she's grown communities from the West Coast to the East Coast.
And that's true. I think, you know, we've sometimes avoided some of the bigger names in community building, but I don't think it's inappropriate to say that Gail is potentially one of the best press ganger / community builders / organizers that the game has ever seen. She's what we should all aspire to be when it comes to
building a
community.
Absolutely.
So, I love Gail. I think that she does a great job, and I think that she's more than deserving of any award that she receives for the way she works in the community.
So, congratulations, Gail. And Jay, tell her what she's won.
So it's supposed to be a battle box this week, I believe, but I'll message her and see what...
I'm pretty sure she owns all the battle boxes.
What sounds good.
What makes sense. The Dune.
Although, truthfully, she'll probably give it away anyway.
Yeah, probably.
So. Right. All right. So maybe that's what she'll want anyway.
But. Yeah, possibly.
So thanks for the great nominations, everybody. Thanks to Gail for doing a great job out there. And that's the Community Builder this week, Jay.
Okay. So for things from Muse on Minis and Discount Games Inc. For Muse, we have measurement sticks that are colored acrylic for Crisis Protocol. So I'm excited for that. And then
I'm only mad that I didn't have them sooner.
That's fair. You've seen what they look like?
Yeah, they look awesome.
Do you have copies of them here?
No.
Lame.
Yes. Have you seen them, Trevor?
I've seen pictures, yes.
Okay. And we have our Crick Zones that are out. We should also have token sets for Crisis Protocol out by next week. And Nigel's also looking at some dashboards or potentially some stuff like that as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Jay, tell me, give it to me straight. How far away am I from official Minions Zones crafted by Nigel?
Oh.
Infinite amounts.
I mean, like 10? Several... Am I 10 away?
10
I...
what?
10 other zones.
10 zone increments.
Oh, no.
10.
I mean, I would say we're probably over halfway through now. I mean, Minions will be one of the last ones.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a patient man.
But we'll get there.
It's fine because I know that he will do his greatest work when he gets there.
That's true.
Listen, I'm going to make a call out to Hungerford right now just for everyone in the Minions community, because I know you guys won't be satisfied if you actually get these zones. I think that they should change the zone sizes right before they get to that point.
Oh my gosh, you are such a butt.
For Discount Games Inc., the... we've had the launch of Crisis Protocol. Are you gonna be at the event this Saturday, Trevor?
Did you come last night?
Yeah, I did.
Did Rick beat you up?
No, I don't have any models.
Oh, okay.
My models are being painted.
So you came just to be supportive.
Yeah, Chris, I came.
Chris would let you play with his models.
Is he not going to be there on Saturday?
No.
Oh, well, I'd play with unpainted models, like a heathen.
Like a monster.
What about the Wheeler?
I will not make it to this Saturday. I'll be on my way back from Logan.
Mm.
Sorry.
What is the full event? Is this like an official release event?
It's the launch event. And so I was supposed to have been sent a kit that has a assembled patch in the Avenger style that says assembled.
Okay.
And then it has an alternate art card.
There was a box that came in with the rest of them that said that I saw it. Your guys had it.
And we have a box for Crisis Day events.
Oh, okay. And that's not the same?
That's not the same.
Okay. Well, I will not be able to stay all day long. It is the day that my mother-in-law has required us to be there for Thanksgiving dinner because she never has it on Thanksgiving. That way nobody can have the excuse, I can't be there because the significant other's family is having it.
Interesting. It's a strategy.
My entire life I've been married to my wife, we've never had Thanksgiving or Christmas on Thanksgiving or Christmas with my mother-in-law. So, but I will definitely be there in the morning.
I mean, great. That'll be great. Yeah. I mean, Brian and I just... leave town on the holidays so that we don't have to do anything.
Deal with that particular drama.
So yeah, Crisis Protocol is awesome. Check it out. Get it. Stuff releasing around on Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving, is basically all of the November releases are there. So we've got like Lord Roger. We've got one other Infernals model. And we have Leadfoot and Treads, I'm quite excited for. Boss McCorn. We should note that Weird Wendell and the Spawn Gates have been pushed to December.
Never even heard that name. Should I know that name?
I mean, he's the model that shoots, has a slingshot or gunner or whatever. And then when you kill him, he becomes a gremlin swarm.
Seriously, I've not...
No, here's the thing.
I don't remember this.
You wiped this from your memory because you raged so hard. You basically hulked out, and then like imagine if Hulk hulked out.
See, I don't remember that part. That's because I, you know, the rage anger goes, and I blank.
Yeah, no, like you were upset, and justifiably.
Great. Well,
he doesn't turn into a gremlin swarm in Riot Quest, right? That's just a war machine effect. Yeah. I mean, a Hordes effect, I should say.
Why? We're the only ones that have to deal with this crap?
Correct.
Okay, so let's go. Oh, one last thing. Check out Discount Games Inc. Do a search for Black Friday. We have had a lot of things that we've been doing specials on. As an example, a lot of the faction-specific, if there's basically any faction-specific Battle Foam stuff, we are at the point now, we've been doing increasing discounts on them. Right now, it's at 70% off. So it's a great deal. Older Malifaux stuff has a big discount as well, as does things like Fallout, Warfare, Wasteland Warfare, and Conquest, Last Argument of Kings.
I'm like super tempted to buy the Wasteland Warfare just to use the minis in the board game.
Oh, that'd be cool. Excellent. Awesome, yeah. We should play that again.
Agreed. We haven't even played it with the expansion.
I know. That's why I say we should play it again.
Agreed. I have to get it back for my brother.
What? He hates that game.
Yeah. The expansion, like, redeemed it for him.
Oh.
Which makes me question the expansion a little bit.
Yeah. If your brother likes it, it can't possibly
be good. His tastes are questionable.
It's true.
Okay. So we each of us have pulled up on our devices. So, Josh, you have week one of the CID, Trevor has week two, and I have week three.
Correct.
And so we're going to have a little change log of what we're talking about.
Are we just going to walk through from the start?
Sure.
Okay.
And then we'll discuss a little bit about how we feel about it.
Because the ones that we haven't spent as much time on is Battle Engine Nemo.
We'll get to him.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. All right. So we're starting at Forge Masters and Therion then? Sure.
So before we even start this...
Yes.
I want to talk about how this surprised me that this was the model they chose. the caster that they chose to make changes to in Convergence being Cintherian. I fully expected it to be Aurora One.
Right, yeah.
And it was not. I think there was other people in the community that felt the same way. Do you guys, does it surprise you that they're making changes to Cintherian?
Just because I expected Aurora, not because I think Cintherian is good or couldn't use the changes.
But didn't you kind of get Aurora? I mean, you got Aurora 2, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember if we talked about her last week.
We did, yeah.
But yeah, she's coming.
Right.
But that doesn't change Aurora 1 at all.
Right.
Although, I guess if you're adding some units with flying, it does kind of change Aurora 1
a
little
bit. That's an interesting point. So, yeah, I could see why you're saying you're a little surprised, but to Jay's point, like, I mean, who would have been more surprising?
I don't know. The thing is that
Kant?
There's probably a lot of people out there who were like, oh, man, we thought Aurora was going to be it. But then, truthfully, most of them are like, well, but yeah, but my Cintherian model's at least painted.
Amazing.
Okay, but we have to pause one second here.
What just happened?
We have late breaking.
Surprise.
Okay.
There are a few things greater than a Jay surprise on the air. What do you got for us, Jay?
Okay, so the War Machine Facebook groups have been losing their goddamn minds.
Is this the spray thing?
Yes.
Oh, my legs. Yeah. I
thought we were going to avoid this.
Can't believe we're confronting this.
No, because there's late breaking.
Okay.
While we've been on the air.
I'm ready, Jay.
What is the late breaking news?
Hungerford just did a post in War Machine and Horse General and said that spray 6 is 6 inches, spray 8 is 8 inches, and spray 10 is 10 inches.
So now I got to pull my Mark 1 templates out again?
Is that where the difference happened from 1 to 2?
Yes. In Mark 1, the templates were flat. They were straight across.
Oh.
In the transition to Mark II, there became this little peak, and it's been that way for ages. I mean, I thought everyone knew.
Right.
The fact when the whole thing came up, I'm like, what the hell? Like, is this somehow a surprise to people? And it blew me away. And then
I thought everyone in the world knew.
Yeah, that the spray template was longer than 10.
Yeah.
I clearly have never been competent enough for it to be a big enough deal to matter in my games. But
and I think I've done this to Trevor before.
Okay.
Where I've been like, okay, so the intent of this is I'm going to be at the max range of my spray template.
Right.
And so this heavy that
can charge 10
inches.
Or threat 10 inches.
Yeah, shoot them with a 10 inch spray and they can't get back. Yeah. Right. I mean, I have no problem with this. It's known. It's a known variable. We've known about it for, at this point, 9 years almost. I distinctly remember having to come in and being a little angry because my spray template from Mark 1 no longer was the same size as the spray templates in Mark 2.
So
apparently spray templates are going back to Mark 1.
His comment now is...
Are you watching this in real time, Jay?
This was posted 10 minutes ago. We understand that small variations in manufacturing will result in some templates being fractions of an inch longer or shorter than the intended lengths. We recommend using your spray templates in conjunction with an additional measuring tool, such as a tape measure, when absolute millimeter precision is required.
They were designed to be longer in the middle.
I know. This wasn't a manufacturing flaw.
Yeah, they were clearly designed with a peak in Mark II. Mark 1 templates were clearly flat across the top. Like, it blows me away that this ever even came up. Anyway, whatever. I probably still have my Mark 1 template somewhere in a drawer.
Anyways, that...
So can I just sand my Mark 2 templates down?
Do you have the little sticker that's...
We evidently need to...
Validated them for being 10 inches long?
We need.
That was my favorite meme that showed up in the Squirt
Meme. This is like a golden opportunity for Muse to now sell... updated templates that are actually...
I thought the Muse ones were already flat.
Precisely 10 inches.
I don't think they are.
Oh, okay. To me, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a template. You put it over the stuff. You're eyeballing it from 2 feet up from off of the board, and you're like, yeah, I think that, you know, parallax is working full time for you, or you and your opponent are looking at two completely different, basically, views.
Right.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, I think it hits. Right? Is that how most games go? Yeah. I'll give it to you. Go ahead.
The part that kind of blows my mind about this, and it shouldn't blow my mind. And it's unfortunate that it got to this point. But one of the things, like, people got super worked up over this.
Mm-hmm.
Super worked up. And there were also people who were like, it got to the point where it almost, I saw people who would post like, you know, I used to love this community, and then I've been involved in this spray discussion, Spraygate, and I fucking hate this community now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we fought over a tiny little dimple on the top of a spray template to the point where you pissed people off and pushed them away from the community. At what point was that worth it?
Well, I mean, the people who were super incensed did win.
Okay, whatever.
The terrorists won, Trevor. We negotiated with...
No, not us. Hungerford negotiated with the terrorists.
What's going to be next?
I don't know, but I better pick something that I like and start my campaign. I've learned from Josh. I learned it by watching you.
I regret nothing.
Just get the power of incumbency. And you're golden.
That's right. Yep. I see. Okay. It didn't work here, though. The template lost.
Yeah. Anyways.
That just shows you that the template wasn't incumbent. Rage is the incumbent.
Okay, so Forge Master Cintherian, tell us what changed week
his feet
one.
Changed.
Wait, am I week one? I thought
yeah, you're week one.
Yeah, you his are feet week did one, change. Yes. What did it change to?
Models in Cintherian's battle group beginning their activations in his control range gain one focus and dual attack. That lasts for one turn.
And the only change is the focus? Am I remembering that right? I mean, they had dual attack before.
Yeah, they had dual attack before, yeah.
No, I had to pull up the...
No, don't worry about that. All right, We're not too worried about it.
You don't want pure but
that,
accuracy.
I will mention that in week two, nothing changed. So clearly that change was
change
enough
in
that
week
they...
three either.
So they like that change. And I honestly, that's a pretty good change for Cintherian. I don't think that it makes him overly different and does help him, makes him a little bit better.
So for the record, the other change is that they used to be able to charge without spending focus. So now instead of that, they gain a focus.
Mm. That helps a little bit with gun lines. I mean, there is plus sides to that.
Yeah.
Because they can make it, I'm assuming they can get free charges and then they can use that focus for something else.
Right.
I mean, I do think there's a downside
here.
Well,
one of the things that sometimes ended up being an issue for Cintherian players is you would have, it was really hard to have your focus chains with your jacks work well with Cintherian
because
you would charge for free and be like clear outside of induction range.
Oh, right.
And so now you get a focus.
This is a lot more flexible.
You spend it to charge, and that gets inducted.
Lets you pass it off with induction.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a lot more flexible. I mean, you can do things like sit back and just boost a shot.
Right.
Although it is, if you ended up loading up a vector or mm-hmm. a convergence jack, you would prefer to have a free charge plus three focus than the free focus. But anyways.
Build your synergy up first, then you won't need three focus.
Yep. All right. So next is the Cypher.
I see a point cost reduction in week one.
Okay. What did it go down to?
15.
15.
Yep.
It's probably 16 before.
I'll double check. I actually got crazy and pulled up. It was 16 before.
Okay.
I have Warren pulled up also.
Was there a week two change?
There was. On the piston spikes, it gained a combo strike, allowing it to combine into a single melee attack
24?
And making it power and strength. 24.
Well, holy week three, Moses. Week three, they said, fuck that noise.
Okay. That is a little bit excessive.
Got rid of the combo smite, and they added, it has three attack types for its gun. It has keeps flare and crater for rough terrain, and then it has bombardment. Model hit suffers POW 8 blast damage roll.
It was POW 6 before.
Okay, so went up.
Which I think is a good change because the Cypher, that bombardment thing, POW 6 is not enough to really matter.
You have to be basically like playing Cintherion and having Hotshot.
And that's
a lot of swapping around, et cetera. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so next we have the Monitor, week one.
Week one, Monitor, point cost to 14, used to be 16.
It was 16, two points.
Two-point drop, yeah.
In week two, the Monitor gained Ricochet on its Episaw Flinger, allowing it to hit a second target within 4 inches of the original target.
And week three, they changed Ricochet, partially, I believe they say in the notes, because of Black Spot.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Ricochet.
Wait, because who has Black Spot?
It would have been, if you're taking it with like Asphyxius 4 in some of the mercs.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
It's a little bit corner case.
The new Strange Bedfellows theme.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So now Ricochet is, when this model correctly hits an enemy model with an initial attack with this weapon, immediately after the attack is resolved, this model can make another ranged attack and with this weapon targeting another model within 4 inches of the model originally hit, ignoring line of sight and this weapon's range. Attacks gained from Ricochet cannot generate additional attacks from Ricochet. Still seems pretty good with Black Spot.
Yeah, and it's not bad with Black Spot. It just doesn't trigger 2 ricochets off of the first shot.
Yes. Yeah. any changes to the Prime Axiom?
Prime Axiom week 1. Wait, oh, I have Reciprocators next on week 1. Should I be skipping them?
I don't have reciprocators.
Next. Okay, well, it looks like all that happened is that their point cost went down in week 1
to 37.
So it was 1118, it is now 1016.
That's probably fine.
Okay.
On the reciprocators?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. What, now I have perforators.
Yeah, the same thing. They're going to have a point reduction.
But they also have some difference. They have a...
Oh, interesting. They're not weapon. In the week 2 and week 3. Oh, they are, actually. They're farther down.
Okay, so what you're telling me is...
They've changed the order of the document.
That's a bummer.
For the love of all that is holy, find Prime Axiom.
I'm glad that Jay is making him change and not the two of us.
What if it's not in here?
Oh, it's not?
I don't find a Prime Axiom.
Oh, that is the issue. They added okay. it. So in week 2...
take that.
They changed the way that it puts servitors into play. So it gained launch servitor. During your maintenance phase, you can place one servitor solo into play completely within 2 inches of this model. Previously, you put it during its activation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only change. Still 37 points.
Okay. Okay.
Week 3? No changes?
No changes, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now we can do the reciprocators.
I don't have any week 3 changes.
No week 3 changes. Just the point cost is the only thing that's changed.
Okay.
Josh, on the perforators.
Perforators. Okay, so the change here, no point change. They now have combined range attack, and their weapon is called the Protean Javelin, and it's range 7.
Real quick, this is the medium-based
Yeah, these are medium-based.
Range attack.
5 of them, 8 hitboxes each. Yeah. Yeah, so this is their armor-piercing thing, which is a range of 7, pow of 6. That's what. Anyway, that's the
so
change.
The change was they gained combined range attack.
That's one of the changes. Yeah.
And the other change was point cost reduction.
This is the perforators. No, their point cost didn't change. The Protean Javelin has 1 extra inch of range.
Oh, from 6
it was
to 7.
6, now it's 7.
Okay. Yeah. In week 2, they gained Predator Protocol. This model gains +2 to attack and damage rolls against models with damage boxes.
And in week 3,
that's a pretty interesting
that
change.
Changes. Predator Protocol goes down from +2 to +1 against
models with boxes.
And it goes up to rat 6.
I mean, those are good changes. Is it going to be enough to get perforators on the table?
Who knows?
The Predator Protocol is an add, right? That's in addition to their other abilities.
Yeah, and they still have their empowered attack and their snipe, etc.
Well, that's interesting. So they can go to range 11.
Yes.
On that armor-piercing gun.
But then they would only be power and strength 6 or 7 against a model with wounds, right. With boxes.
Right.
Whereas if they use the empowered attack, they'd be power 9 against wounds. Is that enough? It still doesn't feel like it's enough.
I don't know. Eradicators, any changes with them?
Yes, point cost reduction, it looks like. They're 813 now. They used to be 915. And
these are the medium-based infantry
with
like 2 bucklers who could do sidestep and
correct
stuff like that.
Sidestep,
before.
And their variable melee attack was they could give shields, they could give themselves buckler, or they get +2 on their attack rolls. Now they have had finisher added to them.
Finisher is kind of interesting.
Especially if something just got shot with a Protean Javelin, right? By the perforators.
I have no idea. I'm a little concerned about the price going down that much. There's no changes in week 2.
Changes in week 3.
Yeah, but I would be concerned that there's too many boxes for that cheap points, but who knows.
Okay, Clockwork Angels.
Okay, Clockwork Angels week 1. Their rat went to 6. That's the only change I see.
No changes in week 2.
The rat was 5 previously.
Yeah, no. Changes in week 3.
Okay. And honestly, I've always liked Angels. I think they're pretty good, and I think Rat bonus is probably fine.
It's not like their gun is like super crazy or anything, right? So
no,
if you combine them in,
yeah, they were kind of nice before.
Yeah, I guess combined range attack, sure. Okay,
algorithmic dispersion optifix.
It looks like nothing happened to it in week one.
In week two, it gained induction or I'm not sure if it had it before, but it's changed. Induction relay.
Tell me.
While in this model's command range, when a friendly faction warjack with an interface node gives focus to another warjack, increase the focus induction range by 3.
They did not have that. Prior.
That is that is a really nice bonus.
What is induction range normally? Is it 3?
6.
It's 6, so that's making it 9.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's really good.
That makes your induction a lot. But sorry, to get that, they have to be within this thing's
5, command of 5, range. Which is appropriate. I think that's effect to have on a solo that generally, you know, the only reason it was there before was to give a...
Be an arc node.
Yeah, be an arc node. Now it actually gives us a purpose and a reason why you would want to keep it safe or to try to kill it. I mean, I think this is a cool addition. Cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah, nice. Still Soul Protector.
Sorry, I'm still in War Room here. Okay, the only change in week one is the mat went to 7.
No changes in week two, and I think that's an appropriate change.
No changes.
Yeah, that's a one point mat increase.
Yeah.
The transfinite emergence projector.
Nothing in week one.
Really? They reduced its point cost to 18. Or
what? Isn't the TEP already like one of the best models?
In comparison, it lost some ground when all the other battle engines got an update.
Okay. So yeah, that's a 1 point point. Reduction.
Basically, a lot of convergence players were like, so we're testing out Nemo, which is busted AF and cheaper, and the TEP is...
And rather than fix Nemo, they're like, we'll give TEP -1.
there weren't any changes
in
week 3.
Is that really how the conversation happened, do you think?
Yeah, totally. Oh, yep. Yes. Okay. Exactly.
All right.
There were certainly many convergence players who were like...
WTF.
Why would
we take a TEP?
A TEP.
Oh, how the world has turned. I love it.
Prime Conflux. Any changes on it?
What you're saying is you love poetic justice.
Yeah. I think it's funny. But...
The Conflux that does not look like anything happened on week one with it.
Oh, interesting. The Prime Conflux in week two, I'm assuming this is gained this ability. It's called Power Grid. During your maintenance phase...
No, it had that... Previously, was that green?
Yes,
I think the ability's changed. Let's hear what it is.
During your maintenance phase, you can place one ionization servitor into play completely. Oh, it's the same changes. It happens during your maintenance phase.
Okay, yeah, it was during activation.
Yeah,
prior.
This is to keep it in line with the change they made to the Prime Axiom.
Okay,
I'm assuming no changes to it.
No,
for week 3.
So Destructotron.
Thank heavens! I've been 3,000. Been on this page for like 3 models, Jay.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, so Destructotron 3,000 is a convergence solo,
and I'm pretty sure they said in the CID. At the start of the CID that basically this one they've play tested and set its rules, but they were including it so that people could include it in lists to have like a feel of how the faction's playing for feedback with other models, stuff like that.
So should we go through all the rules on this one then?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking I would do. So and then you guys can tell me changes. So
no changes, I'm sure.
He's speed 6, strength 6, mat 6, rat 6, def 13, arm 17, command 6, a 6-point medium-based construct. Oh, he's a cavalry construct with gunfighter and 8 hitboxes. He has reposition of 3 inches. He's a soul vessel. He is stumbling drunk, meaning he cannot become knocked down. If it is hit by an enemy attack at any time except while it is advancing, after the attack is resolved, this model is pushed D3 inches in a direction determined by the deviation template. Then you can choose its facing. It has superconduction. When a friendly faction model makes an attack with a ranged weapon with damage type electricity, targeting an enemy model in this model's command range, the attacking model gains +2 to its attack roll. Delicious. Weapons are an electro pummeler x2, which is range 10, rate of fire 1, pow 12. It's damage type electricity, and it has thunder charge. A smaller medium-based model without immunity electricity hit by this attack is slammed D3 inches directly away from this model. The pow of collateral damage is equal to the pow of this weapon. In addition to suffering a normal damage roll, large base models without immunity electricity hit by this attack become knocked down. And then it has, or I guess it's its own mount, right? It has a mount attack of half-inch range, pow 12. And so, yeah, it does give itself its own superconduction. So when it fires that electricity stuff, that's rat 8. Pew pew.
If it's close enough.
Does it get boosted attack rolls on its gunshot? Or is that, does cavalry only get that on their melee attacks?
Melee attacks. It's on charge
attacks. It's only on charges, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay.
It's not on melee attacks. It's on charge attacks.
Okay. So with gunfighter, if you charge in?
Correct. You would get attack rolls. Yes. Okay. It's a charge attack.
Yeah.
It won't get boosted damage.
But you're not going to get boosted if you're just firing without charging in.
No.
Right? So, okay. And you said it no changes,
like,
right?
Yeah, no changes. Seems like an advanced 6 range 10 slam gun is...
Nothing to sneeze at.
Seems interesting.
And it's a charge 9.
Yeah.
Double slam thingy, right? I mean, there's two of them.
Yeah.
So, charge 9. So, threat 10. Anyway. Okay.
It's gunfighter, so it's half inch range. It doesn't have a range on the weapon.
Oh, right? Okay.
So it's only 9.5, but
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I don't think their intention is for you to generally charge in. It's probably to walk up, shoot, slam from distance, and
then reposition
back. Yeah,
and then get sucked into Riot Quest. That's the intention.
Yes, I do think the concept's kind of cool.
I think whenever a Riot Quest solo dies, you should have to go play a game of Riot Quest, like a sub game. Do you remember that card in Magic that was like Charizard or whatever? Do you guys remember that?
No, oh, yeah. Sorry, I don't.
Yep.
You had to play a sub game of Magic, right?
I did not play
Magic
during that time period.
Oh, my gosh. It was so stupid. I loved it.
Of
I never
course
had
you did.
It. I like craved it because I was a young little kid who didn't understand the value of a Mox Ruby. But yeah, you had to play a sub game, and then whoever won the sub game, the loser like lost half their life or something, Jay?
Yeah,
is that right?
Something like that.
That sounds pretty amazing.
I
wish
a rule
they did
like that makes
more
you play
more
Riot
interesting
Quest.
Things like that in the game. But
I need a sub Riot Quest game.
All right, we've talked about Aurora 2 in the past.
So let's talk about changes, basically, right?
Yeah. So in week 2, her feat got changed. I think it's fairly similar, but I think it changes out the thing that we were talking about last week.
Yeah, read it off. Let's hear it, baby.
So friendly faction models with flight, beginning their activations in Aurora's control range, gain +2 speed. Additionally, while in Aurora's control range, friendly faction models with flight gain +2 to damage rolls against enemy models without flight.
Okay.
And it lasts for one turn.
That looks identical to what I'm reading.
Yeah, this one,
in week 1.
Mine is in green as well.
I wonder if they just forgot to turn the green off.
It looks very similar.
Okay. Well, it's definitely in green.
So it's still good then.
The part they changed, and this is the...
Let me check out the designer notes because...
Yeah, while he's doing that, I'm going to read this because this did change.
So the change that happened in week 3 is they changed her feet so that they added like a part at the start that the feet affects her as well.
Oh.
For the speed portion.
Oh, yeah, because in here it says beginning their activations, which means it would not catch her.
Right.
So the thing that changed in week 2 spells, her arcane propulsion says target non-huge base warjack. So it has taken out the blockader right from the beginning by saying non-huge base warjack.
Oh, sad.
That doesn't...
Fun times are over.
I don't know that it...
No, it's thematically better.
I don't know that it changes it enough, but... Regardless, the other spell that changed, I think she gained this spell, and she had it before, Bladed Gale.
It's not on week 1.
Yeah, it's the one that I think Aurora 1 has it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, models hit lose flight for one round. It's a spray 8, POW 13, which she kept Hand of Destruction and Spirit Door. So what did she lose?
That's kind of interesting. The
bombshell?
I don't remember.
That she can
bombshell?
Take away flight and then... get bonus damage.
Oh, get bonus damage on it. That's actually, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, she had the ability to take away flight with her gun, so now she can do it with a spell, too. Her inertial destabilizer takes away flight, and so does her melee weapon. But
any changes in week 3, then, besides the feet changing?
Yeah.
Okay.
But wait, did it change?
It added her, it included her.
Oh.
In the wording.
In week 3. I'm not sure what the week 1 and week 2 change was.
Okay. All right, who's next?
Prefect Hypatia.
Man,
this
it's
is a
really
new
hard.
One as well.
It's really hard not to read that as perfect Hypatia, just for the record.
Okay.
Prefect is a dumb word. So I'll read her then. Okay, so she's a Convergence Angel solo. She is speed 7, strength 5, mat 7, rat 7, def 14, arm 14, and command of 7. She costs 5 points. She's on a small base and has 5 hitboxes. She has advanced deployment, is a construct with flight, and she has apparition, meaning during her control phase, you place this model completely within 2 inches of its current location. Hypatia has Blade Shield, gains +2 defense against range attack rolls. Dogfighter gains boosted attack and damage rolls against models with flight. And Leadership Angels, while in this model's command range, friendly angel models gain apparition. quick work. When this model destroys one or more enemy models with a melee attack during its combat action, immediately after the attack is resolved, this model can make one basic range attack and Soul Vessel. Her weapons, Primordial Beam is a range 10, rate of fire 1, POW 12, magical electricity gun with Thunderbolt, meaning enemy models hit are pushed D3 inches directly away from the attacking model, and on a critical hit, the enemy model becomes knocked down after being pushed. And the Primordial Blade is a range 2, POW strength 11, magical weapon with Weapon Master. Seems like Leadership Angels, like giving all the angels apparitions seems tasty. Is that, because they're already pretty fast, aren't they?
Yeah. I think that seems pretty good. She's so you get command some seven, so
interesting threat vectors.
Sure, it's command seven makes a little limited bubble, but I do think that it's pretty cool. Yeah.
It basically means she's going to be able to do it with one unit, right?
She'll probably be able to do it too. They're the only 3-man units.
I scrolled up to see if I didn't think it was going to be this way, but there was a part of me that hoped to see if.
If Aurora was an angel.
If Aurora might have gotten the angel keyword, but she did not.
Aw.
That's too bad, actually. That would be a lot better, wouldn't it?
Does Aurora 1 have the angel keyword?
No.
I don't know.
What's the fluff? Like, why is she not an angel? Did she not give herself fully to the machine?
No, let's have a little
Fluff Master moment.
Lore Master Larson.
Please enlighten us.
Corner here. So,
fluff.
Part of why there's like this rift going on between the Iron Mother and Aurora is because Aurora is eager to like go into a soul vessel, and she's currently a living model, and Iron Mother's like saying no, and
Mommy said no, you can't have a cell phone.
That's correct.
Oh. So is Aurora basically like a convergence angsty teenager?
Sure.
She is now.
Like the whole Strange Bedfellows thing is her going off on her own.
Like she's off the reservation.
Defying the wishes of the Iron Mother.
Because the Iron Mother defied her wishes first, right?
Correct. Yes.
Oh, man. I love that Josh has taken the position of the angsty teenager in this.
Well, I'm like, here to tell you.
I side with her.
I'm here to tell you there is no feud like a mother-daughter feud. At least not that I have witnessed in my life.
I'm just glad that the mother-daughter in my life have not...
So far...
Yeah, so far I've not done that, but my daughter's only 13, so there's plenty of time left.
I was not present for some of the worst, but evidently they are legend.
My cats are awesome. I don't know what to say about that.
I'm assuming that this Angel Solo was sort of playtested internally as well. There's no changes week two either.
I really hope.
I don't know.
Lore Master Jay, can you tell me, did Hypatia, Prefect Hypatia, please tell me that she was a living person who got the cell phone, who got the soul vessel before Arch Newman Aurora, and that's also why Aurora is extra mad?
I'm not sure.
Look, I need...
Listen, in the chain attack
I need this kind of
verse,
angst in my fluff.
In the chain attack fan fluff verse, this is what it is now, Josh.
Writing fanfic live on the air.
Negation Angels.
Yes.
This is a new unit.
That's what the Iron Mother sent to stop Aurora from getting her.
Negation.
Talk to the young Negation Angels.
Young one.
I am glad that there are... another, basically a set of FA3 3-man unit angel units available.
You mean more than one type? Because is the other angel unit also a 3-person unit?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. Clockwork Angels are okay. A 3-person. Okay.
So the Negation Angels are Speed 7, Mat 6, Rat 6, Def 14, Arm 12, Command of 7, FA3, it's a leader and 2 grunts for 6 points. There are small bases. They have advanced deployment. They're construct and flight. They have blade shield, meaning they get +2 defense against range attack rolls. They have gang, so when they make a melee attack targeting an enemy model in the melee range of another model in this unit, this model gains +2 to melee attack and melee damage rolls. They have prowl, meaning while they have concealment, they gain stealth, and their soul vessels. Their weapons are a gun called Electroshocker that's range 8, POW 10, damage type electricity with crit paralysis, meaning a living model hit on a critical hit, has its base defense reduced to 5 and cannot run. Charger makes slammer trample fire attacks for one round. And the Binomial Blade, which is half-inch range, POW strength 12, also has it just has base paralysis. So if you get hit by a Binomial Blade, you will have your base defense reduced to 5 and be unable to run charger makes slammer trample power attacks.
So these do not have combined range like the other Angels unit?
They do not. They have gang.
Yeah.
These are more the melee centered of the two.
I assume no week two changes?
No, no week two changes.
No week three either.
Okay.
Okay, the negator.
The negator.
There's lots of negation going
on
here.
Yes, that also helped the Iron Mother reject Aurora. The negator, is this new? Should I be reading everything?
Yes, it is.
A Convergence Light Warjack, speed 7, strength 6, Mat Rat X, which is a Convergence Jack thing, right?
Yep.
Def 13, arm 15, FAU, point cost 6 on a medium base. I count 22 hitboxes. The negator is a construct with flight and has flank. Negator, so when this model makes a melee attack against an enemy model in the melee range of another friendly negator, this model gains plus 2 to attack rolls and gains an additional damage die. Reposition of 3 inches, and the weapons are an evulsor, both left and right. It's a sword with half-inch range, power strength 10, with critical amputation. On a critical hit on a warjack or war beast, fill in the unmarked damage boxes or circles on the last column or branch damaged. Really, is it the most disappointing crit ability in the game?
Only for you, Josh.
Dang it. Wait, are you saying that other people get good use out of theirs?
I think this one will.
Because it's so cheap?
No, because it can be the equivalent of Weapon Master.
Oh, because of the flank negator thing.
Right. You throw several negators in with Cintherian, get synergy up. They hit well, and then boom, they're cranking damage rolls and taking out extra columns, and they're doing it cheap. The problem is, all I've ever done is take out one. Your bitterness comes from an expensive model that has it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But I loved it.
Okay.
I think these are the ones that are like the little floaty balls, right? The big floaty light jacks. Am I remembering that right?
I believe so.
Yeah. We don't need to look at the picture, but the point is if that's what they are, they look cool, and I'm excited to see these on the table. I like the rules. I like the idea, the concept here.
Let's talk about the Tessellator, the other floaty light jack.
Don't like the name.
The Tessellator is a speed 7, strength 6, Mat Rat X, def 13, arm 15, point cost 7 on a medium base, construct flight with reposition of 3 inches. They have a pneumatic trajectile, which is a range 9, rate of fire 1, POW 10 gun that has reload of 1, can spend 1 focus point to make 1 additional range attack with this weapon during its combat action, and volume fire, meaning it gets plus 1 to attack and damage rolls with this weapon against medium base models, and plus 2 to attack and damage rolls against large and huge base models. And then it has a melee of bash that's a half inch range, power strength 6. That's what I can tell you about the Tessellator.
Okay. Opinions?
I really dislike the name. So just for shits and giggles, I looked up what tessellate means.
Okay.
It means to...
Is that like a puzzle?
It's to decorate...
It's having like a repeating pattern.
It's the definition here is it's a verb to decorate a floor with mosaics.
Really? So this thing is basically a tiling subcontractor.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. I like subcontractors.
No, you don't. I'm not impressed with this one. I don't think the gun's good enough.
Would you have been impressed if we hadn't compared it to the Negator first?
No.
If I'd read them out of order, would you be more impressed?
So Artificer Prime Nemo has gone through some changes, I believe.
Okay. Shall I begin?
Do we want to do that, or we just want to start with week two? There's no week three changes.
We can just start with week two.
All right.
Okay.
Lay it on.
Okay. So Artificer Prime Nemo, he is a speed 4 battle engine with strength 8, mat 5, rat 6, defense 11, arm 18, command 8, and focus 5. In week two, he has 26 boxes, I believe. His point cost is 18. He's a mercenary, a partisan convergence, and partisan Signar. He is a construct. He has immunity electricity. He's a battle group controller, and he has a limited battle group. He can take non-character convergence, non-character Signar, non-character mercenary warjacks, and warjacks with the bond Nemo. And whatever warjacks are in his group are considered to be the same faction as he is. So depending on which of those lists he's being taken in, they will be a different faction. He has the ability Opening the Gate. This model can use Opening the Gate once per game at any time during its activation. Immediately put a friendly non-character faction solo without battle group commander with a point cost of 5 or less into play, placing it completely within 3 inches of this model. That solo must forfeit its combat action the turn it is put into play. friendly non-character faction. It has to be a faction, okay? So then the next ability is...
Sorry, was that Grunts? Is it Grunts that he's returning to play?
No, I solo.
Oh, week one it was Grunts. This is Fold Space, right?
No.
Oh.
We'll get to that one in just a moment.
Okay.
Shifting powers. Choose one of the following effects at the start of his activation. First one, Fold Space. Return D3 small or medium base friendly destroyed faction grunts to play. Models return with one unmarked damage box. Place the return grunts completely within this model's command range and formation and completely within 3 inches of another model in the unit. And then they forfeit their combat actions, the turn they return to play. Next ability, Spatial Vortex. Enemy models currently within 2 inches of this model suffer a POW 10 electrical damage roll. After the damage is resolved, place this model completely within 3 inches of its current location. He's a soul vessel. He has a weapon, a gun, called Electrical Strikes. I don't know why it's called Electrical Strikes when it's a single shot. Oh, because it gets rate of fire 2. It's range 12, rate of fire 2, POW 13.
Used to be rate of fire D3 plus 1 for the record.
I love the randomness. Has Thunderbolt, so push D3 inches away, and on a critical hit, knock down. It has a bash attack that is power strength 12 and range 1. His spells, Lightning Shroud. I think these are all probably the same from the first week. Lightning Shroud, target Warjack and the spellcaster's battle group gains plus 2 strength and immunity to electricity, and its melee weapons gain Electro Leap. Has Locomotion. The spellcaster spends up to 3 focus to cast Locomotion. Target Warjack and his battle group immediately advances up to 1 inch per focus point spent. And you can only do it once per turn. And he has Watcher. Once per turn, when an enemy model advances and ends its move within 6 inches of this spellcaster, you can choose a Warjack in his battle group to make a full advance towards the target, followed by an attack.
Which are boosted.
He comes with Arcane Mechanics. Right? No, that's not. He comes with, what does he come with? I thought he came with stuff.
Does he come with something, really?
No, I'm thinking of,
He does come with.
Yeah, it shows him on the package as having dudes.
Oh, what is it? I think it's the Arcane Mechanics. Okay.
Tell us all about him.
The Arcane Mechanics. They are a mercenary unit. They're speed 6, strength 6, mat 5, rat 6, defense 13, armor 11, and command 6. They are a leader and 2 grunts, 3-man unit. They're Partisan Convergence, Partisan Signar. They have immunity electricity. They are companions with Prime Artificer Nemo. This unit is included in any army that includes Prime Artificer Nemo. If Nemo is destroyed or removed from play, remove that unit from play. They have Recharge, which is range 1. It's an action, special action. They target a friendly faction Warjack in Nemo's battle group, and if the target Warjack is in range and it was suffering disruption, is no longer disrupted, and it gains a focus point. So they could fill up a Jack.
Weird, because Recharge in week 1 was to give Nemo a focus point.
Yeah, this is a friendly faction, Morjak and Nemo's battle group.
Okay.
And then they have Repair, which is base to base, D3 plus 1 repair. And they have Super Tune, base to base. It has to target Nemo. If Nemo's in range, he gains an additional die on electrical attack and damage rolls for 1 turn. Discard the lowest die on each roll. And then they have a little weapon that's power strength 12. And
does it still have crit knockdown?
It does.
Okay.
You said that in week 1, they could give focus to Nemo?
Yeah, and week one, their recharge was base-to-base with Nemo. If he was in range, he gained a focus point.
Yeah. It's a pretty big change.
It's probably pretty strong, right?
I think he's interesting now, still. Don't think they've nerfed him to oblivion.
Yeah, I think he's still usable.
I mean, he's just a battle engine, right? He's not your caster.
No, but he's going to take caster effort to kill. He's got 26 boxes, and he's a focus 5 caster.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah, he had 30 in week 1 boxes.
Okay.
I mean, the other thing you have to keep in mind is that he's super hard to kill, and he's putting a free solo in, so his point
and
cost is cheaper.
Three grunts.
And he's putting 3 grunts in, potentially, each turn, up to. I mean, he's doing a lot of work, and I'm not sure. What was his point cost in week 1?
16.
So they raised it to 18. I'm still not sure that's enough.
Yeah. Right, because, yeah, you're basically, it's basically that plus 5 points, right?
Yeah.
Because this faction solo is like any faction solo.
Yeah, so he's essentially 13.
Well, it's a lot sadder if you're playing him in like Convergence than...
Than Mercs?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. But in Mercs and in Signar... Yeah.
Where are you going to play him more?
I mean, who knows?
Where is Jay going to play him more?
No, nowhere, right?
Yeah, he's not going to play
Infernals.
Him. He doesn't work for Infernals.
And
he can't be part of...
I I'm Hearts like the target demographic or something, but I am pretty excited about some of the Flames in the Darkness and Warriors of the Old Faithless.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would hope you're the dark demographic.
So we went over Asphyxius the Sanctified before. What week changes. Two changes yeah. do you have, Trevor?
On what?
Asphyxius 4.
Oh, the malign alignment was just changed so that models have to be in formation to
okay.
keep to dark do the
dark shroud.
Yeah.
It's a good change. In week 3, they made him 14 defense and 17 damage boxes. So I think they were worried he was a little bit too survivable before that. Annihilation servitors. I think this is...
They come with
that,
him.
With him. So that's everything.
Cool.
So
thoughts on it? I like what they're doing here. I think it's interesting. I like the idea of seeing some varied convergence lists. I mean, when convergence first came out, the whole angel thing felt like it was one of their play styles. And then it died quickly, like as an effective way to play.
Yeah.
And so you never saw it anymore.
Right.
And so hopefully it'll come back and now you'll see, you know, the convergence will actually be able to play one of the types of play styles that they had available to them before that just wasn't viable.
I will say that this is probably like how I like random stuff and I shouldn't, right? Like I'm a bad person. But I love the whole mixed faction thing that's going on. Like, I know it's already been started, right. but like the fact that we're looking at stuff here that can be convergence or mercs and, you know, some Signar, like, I think that's cool. And the Strange Bedfellows theme, like, I just assume that's going to keep on keeping on, that type of thing. Is that a good thing? Do you guys think?
It was kind of interesting. They did a poll in the War Machine general Facebook group
okay.
on whether or not people like the cross-faction themes.
This was before sprays, I presume.
I mean, it was like a little side note during that whole imbroglio. But it was about 60% in favor and 40% opposed.
Okay.
So.
Well, good. Majority's always right, right?
No. Okay. Well, Josh, you have a dad joke for us?
I do, yes. Actually, it's funny, but people are shocked they're usually shocked when they find out I'm not a good electrician, Jay.
Oh, why's that?
That's why.
They're shocked.
Oh,
shocked.
Okay. Okay, well.
That's the best reaction ever.
We'll have an episode this week, and I don't see how... It can't be better than what we just did. So stay tuned. And on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.